breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us. Weird thing happened to me yesterday. I'm, as I want to do, going through looking for news stories to tweet and get in, you know, pick fights on Twitter about. And before I could get to my actual Twitter feed, when I opened my Twitter app, I had this notice. I'd never seen anything like this before. And it was a letter to me on my screen from Twitter saying that they were aware that they had gathered some information that was then accidentally shared with one of their advertising partners. They told me which one it was, and they said, this is the manner in which we collected it, and this is how we believe it was accidentally shared. We've taken these steps, boom, boom, boom. If you have any more questions, here's a link. And because I was short on time, and I did not really believe that I had anything of super value of my Twitter feed to, you know, share, because I pretty much think if it's on Twitter, everybody's going to have access to it. I didn't go any further with that. But I was profoundly grateful that I didn't have to read. And they said the last thing in the notification was, and your account was one that was compromised. At the end of the day, I felt like I'm glad I don't have to read about this in a newspaper and wonder. I'm actually thankful that a major social media platform that had some sort of breach let me know about it. Ari Zoldan is back with us. He looks at this kind of stuff all the time. And Ari, maybe the lesson's been learned that, you know, you take the Facebook approach and try to duck and weave and bob and hide all the time. And maybe that's not going to work out so much. At Jack seems to be choosing to do it a little bit differently. And I, for one, was satisfied with that.
Hey, Kevin. No, 100%. You're exactly right. It's how companies are responding. Are they responding quick enough? Are they responding effectively? And are they responding in a way that customers appreciate? And I think exactly what happened with you. Yes, there was a breach, but at the same time, they dealt with it head on. And I think it was the right and only way to deal with it. Because, Kevin, this stuff is going to continue to happen. This is just a genesis. I mean, breaches are going to happen, you know, hundreds of times a day across different networks around the clock. So the question is, how do companies deal with it effectively? And I think Twitter did a good job with that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Hey, big news from where is it? Japan today. They've tested out their bullet train. And in the technological world, bullet trains are kind of a big deal. And they set a record breaking speed of 249 miles an hour. Now, all right, that's awfully fast on a train. As someone who rides a train every single day, 249 miles an hour blows my mind. And I'm just curious, you know, how many miles outside the city do they have to start applying the brakes in order to make the station on time, you know, not overshoot the station? But how significant is this?
Right. Well, you can imagine what the conductors at either the Long Island Railroad or the New Jersey Transit are thinking right now. But in terms of the speed, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I've been on trains in China and Japan, and they're very efficient. They're very fast. But this is really, really breaking some serious records. And just talk about it like efficiency, you know, from an eco standpoint as well, a green perspective as well, being able to get in a train, the carbon, you know, the carbon monoxide, you know, all that stuff is completely controlled. And I think it's great. I mean, I think we're going to see trains go 300, 400, 500 miles an hour in the next 5 to 6 years.
Well, if they do that, and if you get the super jets coming back, which looks like they're on their way back too, man, the world's going to get smaller than ever.
Exactly. I remember those Concords, and I remember that when they retired them. So we're going to be seeing them, I think, a lot sooner than people expect.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Okay, so you know my love-hate relationship with AI. I'm scared to death of the robots. I think they're all going to kill us in our sleep someday. But I'm impressed that, you know, what's the IBM? Watson. I'm impressed that Watson is becoming a doctor at the University of North Carolina Medical School. I think that's kind of cool. And there are some other AI applications that have been, you know, more well-received in my own part. But now Microsoft partners with a distillery to create the world's first AI whiskey. And if I understand correctly, they are picking recipes from over 70 million total options. So from 70 million, I didn't even know there were 70 million recipes for whiskey in existence, but evidently this AI program can pick and choose from all the different whiskey combinations that have ever been made and help the distillery make the exact perfect one for whoever this, you know, whoever the customer is.
How amazing is that? And we're seeing now AI, this is a perfect example, we're seeing AI in the kitchen, so to speak, and plowing through different algorithms to be able to find the perfect recipe, the perfect mix. I mean, that, you know, 5-10 years ago, if you thought AI in the kitchen was out there, well, it's here now. And we're looking at a distillery, you know, and distillery is a science. And here is a perfect example how AI is being applied to the alcohol industry. Look, and there's also, I think that there's safety elements here also, or healthy elements as well here, in terms of making that perfect alcohol. I know liver, you know, there's liver damage and there's other damage that can happen to your body. Imagine now if AI can extract some of the bad elements of alcohol, and that's another good use how AI and technology is affecting us.
Well, and, you know, there's no reason why it can't, because as we just talked about, part of the AI universe is concentrating on how medicines actually interact with the science of the human body. And so, you know, if you can narrow down the cancer gene to a mathematical equation of some sort, Ari, is AI going to get rid of the killer disease?
I think eventually it will. And look, everything is becoming an algorithm. You know, we've been hearing the word algorithm for the past couple of years, but I think everything is going to be in some form part of an algorithm down to a science. It doesn't matter what the sector is. Again, you know, AI tackling disease, well, you know, I think if it does tackle one, another disease will pop up. But being able to use AI in a preventative fashion, I think, is really, really key to this.
Well, and then you've got the AI, you know, then you got Watson on the corrective fashion as well. So both sides of medicine, the preventative and the restorative or the corrective on the backside, it's going to be pretty amazing. Anyway, Ari, thank you. You always make me think bigger and broader than I ever did before. I'm kind of blown away by this segment each week.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Follow him on Twitter. It's all geek speak about technology and stuff, but it's fun and it's informative. So you'll learn a lot, like I do. Anyway, Kevin McCullough coming right back. My final thought coming up next.